Hi, welcome to Hocus Pocus Let's Focus podcast. I'm Susie.
And I'm Dee.
And we are two witchy friends opening the broom closet door. If you are curious or have questions about the overall spiritual and metaphysical journey, we are here to create a fun and safe atmosphere.
So sit back as two witchy friends bring you information on interesting topics as we jump into this Hocus Pocus Let's Focus episode.
Woo! Hello, hello.
Hi. So we have an interesting, gonna let you take the lead on that one.
Okay.
An interesting guest today.
We have a fun episode today. So we actually have a special guest. His name is Daniel, and he is actually my fiance. So how are you doing today, my love?
Doing good. And yourself? Thank you for having me.
Good. Thank you for joining us. We're excited.
Yeah, and I think you kind of speared that one. He was like, you brought it up about all the Infinity Stones, and he actually blew my little cousin's mind the other day.
Oh yeah, babe, tell us about how this works, what they spell out.
Oh, so it's been said that if you actually spell out specific parts of the Infinity Stone, it actually creates the name Thanos, which is very interesting. So you take parts of the actual name of the stone, what it does, and even where it's from, you can spell out Thanos. That's a pretty cool tip that some people don't know. So
for any Marvel, any, what is it, the MC Universe, right?
MCU Universe.
There you go. UMC. I'm like, that's the hospital to know right here.
MCU is great.
Oh my gosh. Yes, for any fan, if you can guess, we're actually discussing Infinity Stones and correlation with crystals. So our inner nerds are just jumping for joy right now.
I know. Thank you guys, honestly, for like being not your nerds, but it's fun to be like to know that knowledge. It's super fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do not mean that. I'm very happy about it. I love it to death.
You are a proud nerd.
Yes, I am. Yes, we are. Actually, we are getting married this year, and our theme is comics. So we have superhero and or supervillain themed. And I actually went to get the trial for my wedding nails on.
Oh, girl, I look fierce.
So thank you. My girl, shout out to my girl, Nikki. She did an amazing job. So Daniel is going to be, he picked Captain America and I picked Scarlet Witch. So I did want to have the emblems on my ring fingers. So I go in and I tell Nikki what I want. We've already been planning it out. So I have the shield on my ring finger on my left and then the emblem of Scarlet Witch on my right. But it's the first time, y'all, that I've ever had acrylic nails on. And I was being very bold and I wanted to have them a longer length than what I'm used to. When I tell you, first, I didn't know it was a whole process. I was in that chair for like about three and a half hours because she did other, we're trying a whole bunch of stuff out. So, and she does everything by hand. So that was one. And two, you can ask Daniel, I just felt like so awkward. First, my fingers were so tender because she had to take off my gel and then, you know, all the work on my nails. And then two, I felt like Edward Scissorhands because I could not function. And I'm just like, and I tell him, I was like, oh, babe, I don't know if I can do this. I can't even like dress myself because it feels so weird to have them on. I'm getting used to them, but some things are still like typing. I'm like, yeah, no, I can't do this. It's weird, but I'll probably just go a short length.
It's funny because just like MCU, when each hero gets their power to begin with, they struggle. That's what I saw when Susan got her first nails. It's pretty funny seeing the struggle. So
I'm struggling.
Telling her. Powers. Yeah, having your nails are your superpower because then you feel extra. Oh, girl, if you're going on your spicy trip, just add that. Oh, no.
There was a, I don't know what happened. Oh, I do. I remember now what happened. So we had a situation, D and I, and we were a little heated over it. And I found like, and it was already the day after, so I was already getting used to my fingers, you know, my fingertips and all that stuff, my nails. And I found that Peter Griffin from Family Guy, when he has nails, he's just like typing at the computer all chingona. And I was like, that's how I felt. But
people be testing people. Yeah.
That's well, testing our worth and trying to take advantage. But anyway.
Excuse my language, guys. But yeah. But you know, it comes with a lot of good things with the nails. Mm-hmm. You can scratch yourself, like that itch.
These are like really, like I could probably take someone's eyeball out with these. But I love them. They're very beautiful. It's just, I can't
do. No, they do look really nice.
And then when I go back to work, to school, there's just no way. It's too long. Unless I'm like getting into a heated argument or anything like that. But
girl, you will have like that extra sass. I am pro nails all the way until the school year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That way you can be like, your like finger looks extra long. Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Whipping y'all off with some extra.
Exactly. With some extra energy. Especially with you have like the like the stones, like sister.
Oh, no kidding.
You should do that.
What?
You should put the infinity stones like as crystals on your nails, what? Girl.
Snap
people. I just had that like you really should. Guys, ideas. Ideas are just coming.
Denora really is in a wanting to snap people out of existence mood. Recently.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, let's get started before we start going on that tangent. Who we want to snap?
Oh, hell no. No, I don't know. No, but I really think that would be really cool. Like, I think I might actually have to do that. I'm going to ask my nail girl to give me those crystals on my fingers.
That'd be cute.
Find a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can already see you snapping away.
Oh, fudge. Good God. I would definitely do that. I get tested too much.
It is what it is.
But how? Yeah, let's get started.
Yeah, I'm ready. So, how would you like to start, my love?
Well, actually, kind of trying to segue into your crystal. A lot of people know about, you know, the MCU, Thanos, you know, gathering the stones, what they mean. But one thing that kind of is overlooked is actually the snap itself and the energy it took to create what he did, which a lot of people, well, most everybody did not like, and that was erase half or 50% of all living things. And so, you know, if you break down each stone and what they do, it's pretty amazing how the correlation of all the stones was able to do that and the power it took to do that. So I wanted to do a little bit of discussion of like what each stone does real quickly and then how each stone was put together to create the snap and what it did. So something that's very interesting, I like.
That's insane that actually the snap itself, they're like, there's not meaning to it, but that it was crafted. So overall, like when you see it, you just kind of go through the motions of like, he snapped, you get hurt and everything. But that's really cool to know that there's intention, well, not intention of just like happy half the people, but everything that it took to get right to that. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
And that each of the six stones has unique capabilities that are necessary, mm-hmm, right, for the existence of the universe.
Correct. Yeah, they're all there. Pretty much what they said, like I said, they was created and they actually make the existence of the universe. So each, pretty much everything you can think of has a little part of the stone in it. Some have bigger parts than others, but it creates almost every aspect of what makes the universe, so.
Right. Well, that's neat.
So I guess, do you want us to start with the stones themselves? We can start with the power stone if you want, Dee.
So how many stones in general? I'll let, like, there's six.
There's six stones. That's what they introduced. Yes, there's six that they introduced to right now. So.
Okay. So yeah. Yeah, you tell me, girl. Like, we can do that.
Yeah. So we can start. Or, babe, what stone would you like to start with? We'll do that.
Well, you know, let's go in order. People know, let's go in order of how Thanos achieved it from every person in the universe. So we can start with the space stone.
Okay.
So that one was yours, right?
Space. Yes, that one was mine. Let me go get my thousands of tabs that I have opened. So the space stone, that one was found in the Tesseract. and that one has the power to open portals to other realms of the universe. We first hear about this stone in Captain America, the First Avenger. As the name would suggest, it gives the holder the power to control space. It's a stunning shade of bright blue, which closely resembles natural gemstones such as sapphire, aquamarine, or tanzanite. And for that ultra rich, some Paribia stone as well. So I'll let you take full reins on that, Daniel.
Yes.
Where you take, because I think that's as much my expertise goes there.
It's funny because the space stone, it's got a really great property because, you know, as you know, when he obtained it after he encountered Thor, he was able to actually teleport after that, which is cool because that's what it is. It basically was full space and time. And that's why in the snap, it's important because without that stone, he could not reach the whole universe and what he was trying to do. So pretty much it was a microcosm of being able to pretty much get all that space in the universe and be able to say, you know what, I want to go here, I want to go there, you know. So it was kind of cool how he got that first, because I was able to make his journey a lot quicker to obtain the stones even faster. So
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
See, and I was telling Susan about prior to this, is that scientists have just discovered, well, they captured like the first ever visual footage of the space of a space-time crystal. So
yes. Yeah, I saw that.
That was kind of cool.
And as far as like blue sapphire, the power that would possess, is that stone can really help whoever has it have a calmer and sharper mind. So that's why it's kind of goes towards the space stone, which I liked. So it almost like makes sure that you take up the tasks in a proper manner. So
like you're up for it.
Exactly. Yeah. And is anybody out there watching Loki? We won't give any, obviously.
I know. My little cousin was telling me that I should because it touches on that one.
Yeah.
Again, we won't leave.
Yeah, the Tesseract. We love it. Right, babe? Like, oh my gosh.
It's really good. Yes. It's amazing how what they're bringing into it and actually how the meaning behind it. It's truly amazing.
And then I have a question. How did you get, like, completely side note, but how did you start pulling at this string, at this thread? Like, going into the whole, like, the space tones and how they correlate with everything in
The MCU?
Yeah, all of that. Yeah, because to me, I'm like, dang, it's a lot.
Well, like I said, I mean, obviously MCU has been around, you know, it stands for Marvel Comic Universe. It's been around for a long time. So, of course, I was a big advocate for comics back in the day. I would collect them and even play the video games. And there was a lot of games that would allude to the Infinity Stone. So I was always curious on, you know what, hey, you know, who could, you know, how does it mean? How would they work? And so, you know, like I said, I'm all about, you know, the why. And so I like to look into it and to see the properties and stuff. And that's the reason, that's pretty much the reason why, you know, but of course I was very fast because like you say, you know, looking at ahead when you watch the movie, you shift from the snap to what happens when people just start disappearing, you know, and it kind of shifts over. But, you know, and then you kind of realize and when you watch Endgame, the toll it took on him. And of course, at the end, the toll it took on Tony Stark when he passed away. So I was like, man, it's pretty powerful. And you know how, and then I looked up to see how each one, you're like, wow, that's pretty intense how that works and how only so few people, which, you know, we're going to know watching the new movie with the Immortals, how they're that powerful that some of them, even they can't handle the stone.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
It's so fun. I mean, I'll be the first. I was really into DC. So I really learned so much in the time I've been with Daniel, all about like going deeper and digging deeper. It's just like when you go into any kind of journey, right? And what we're talking about is specifically, you know, if you're diving into crystals, into tarot or whatever, but it's like there's a door and then it opens another door. It's just like, how deep down the rabbit hole are you going to get? And just when we were discussing getting ready for this episode, I was like you, I was like mind blown. And he's like, yeah, you know, they spell out Thanos is better done. I was like, shut the front door. I was like, wow. And it just makes you want to dive deeper and just learn more and more and more. And there's just like, there's so much more obviously than the surface level, but to really go down deep, it's amazing. It's really, really good.
Really enjoy. No, that's really, 'cause I get my mind blown every single time. Like I hear my little cousin tell me about everything in the, just how it all interconnects and like the thought, and it's just, I'm just like, dang. That's a lot of thought and a lot of everything, but it's, the stones themselves are,
it's great.
Little things that you take for granted, you know what I mean? It's just, yeah. Like when you're just watching the movie, you're just like, ooh, shiny. Ooh, you go through those motions of, you're in that action, but it's really neat to see the thought behind it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Which stone do you want to go on to next?
The next one they find would be the Mind Stone. So, and that one's actually pretty cool because based on the snap, that's the one that actually discerns life, meaning that it actually took this stone for him to realize, because he says in the movie, it's going to be nonpartisan, you know, non-biased, we're just random. So with that stone, he was able to say, okay, here's half of life, I'm taking half, and that's half saves, that half goes. So that is actually a pretty powerful stone to use to be able to say, this half's going to stay and this half's going to go.
And then poor Vision.
I know. Yes.
Oh my God. That whole movie just like broke me into pieces, but that was like, it was rough. I think that one's yours also, Dinar.
Yeah. So on that one, I have, you know, citrine, yellow tourmaline, and then this Chires. Sounds like Chrysler Noble. It's not that. Again, it's literally, that's what it sounds like. I think of the Chrysler building in Chernobyl. Why don't? So again, the name suggests that the stone gives the beholder the power to control minds. In the Marvel Universe, the stone is part of Loki's scepter, seen for the first time in Avengers. And this stone becomes Vision, a supernatural being who has great powers in the Avengers Age of Ultron. Its color is yellow, similar to the sun in brightness and in the tones. You could easily resemble it to gemstones such as citrine, yellow tourmaline, or Chrysler. Guys, it sounds like Chrysler Chernobyl, so we're just going to go.
Oh, okay. That. And that's a stone that we have?
And that's the stone. Yeah, that's a crystal that we have. It kind of has like it mirrors that yellow, really pretty, kind of like of a, oh my God. Have you guys ever seen How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You remember how like she's like wearing that like yellow dress and she's wearing the yellow diamond?
Yes.
The Dutch set, that's what it looks like. So that's what I literally think of when I think of the Mind Stone. I think of her diamond that she's wearing. But this one, I didn't go. Kind of went off the beaten path on this one. Like, I think the one that mirrors what the Mind Stone does is kind of Solidite. So Solidite is all about logic, intelligence, emotional balance, intuition, clarity, truth, and perception. And I think in just general, that embodies who Vision becomes. You know, he brings order, he brings calmness, like, and I think that's what he does to Scarlet Witch. That's why it was so hard, especially when we see with what happens with her brother. And you know, he encourages her to have rational thoughts, objective, you know, to be intuitive. So that's what I kind of like related the Mind Stone, not so much with like citrine and yellow tourmaline. I think Solidite would have been the perfect pair to pair for that one. Citrine, I actually think I'll touch base on where that one, I think that one goes to. But so Solidite brings emotional balance, calms panic attacks. And if you saw, you know, the Avengers, well, part of the movies, you know that Scarlet Witch, when she loses her brother, she would tend to do that. And Vision always kind of grounded her on that one.
Yeah.
So yeah, it sucks. It kind of feels like you're talking about a dead relative, but I you know, it, she's just been through so much that poor.
Well, you can think that it's both aspects because, you know, you can't forget that Vision, Scarlet Witch and her brother both actually derived from the Mind Stone because, you know, Jarvis was the AI created by Tony Stark and he's the one that put into Vision's body Ultron created. And they use the Mind Stone to power it. And then before that, the Hydra used the Mind Stone to do the test subjects, which was, you know, Scarlet Witch and her brother, Quicksilver. And you can tell, you know, like Scarlet Witch is more of the raw emotion, the power, And vision is more of the calm power, but also like these rational objective to be able to talk to certain people and to realize the meaning beyond what's going on. So
agreed. And I think that's where it is. Like, if you wanted to look at Scarlet Witch, if she was affected, you can look at a raw, you know how like we, when we talk about crystals, Susan, they're just like in the raw, they're polished format. Oh, yeah. It's just mm-hmm. a rent. So I think she just kind of got it, all that raw energy.
Very, yeah.
And yeah.
Very raw. But and you know, remember.
Very raw, untamed. Yeah. And Vision yeah. kind of has like that more polished look. That's what he has. It's really nice on his little forehead. Is yeah. bindi. Okay, guys, I wanted to just tell you, just because this kind of propped so far up subject, but did you know that Ultron, did you guys ever see The Office?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you see that guy that was like kind of like, it's like when James they're Spader. Still like going, which one?
James Spader.
Yes. The one yeah. that he would like make some comments and they were cringy, but he's like, I didn't know it was his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So then not news information. I just, that was new to me.
Oh, he's actually, I like him as an actor, really. But he was in way back in the day. I think it was called Boston Legal. He was one of the lawyers. That was a really good show. He's a really, really good actor.
I never really watched that show.
It's good.
But yeah.
It's good. It's a good show.
No, he has, I like his voice. Like there's something kind of, like if I were to get ever play some bad information, some bad news, I would want him to deliver that. Yeah. You know, it's gonna feel a little voice, yeah. Follow him in that calm, soothing. You're just like, yeah. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I liked him in the show Blacklist. I need to watch that one, but he's a really good actor. He's a really good actor.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Cool.
So that's the Mind Stone. Yeah. That's a really good thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up.
What we've seen is the Reality Stone, which is funny because this is the only stone that actually can be fluid and liquid and not a stone as the other ones are. So that was pretty cool. They just sent to Thor the Dark World. And this one's actually kind of important because based on the snap, this one actually was to erase the physical body. So this is where we see people disappearing and turn into that crazy dust. And this is the stone that actually did that. So that was very, very important because this is the one that shapes reality. So
shakes reality and it shook my reality. I'm not even gonna lie. It was rough. So I have the Reality Stone, which is a red gem, which is referred to as Reality Stone in Avengers, and it allows the bearer to alter the reality as desired. Of course, it was in the collector's possession in Nowhere. Thor and the Guardians of the Galaxy joined forces to protect the stone. Of course, but Thanos reaches it and refers to create an illusion of a perfectly functioning Nowhere, but then retrieves the stone, kidnaps his adopted daughter, Gamora, and he takes her because she knows the way to the Soul Stone, which another, but in the real world, this red gem is also known as a ruby, and it's known to improve the real power of concentration. So if you need to kind of buckle down, concentrate either on work or any other form that you need it, a ruby gem will be the gem for you to uphold.
No, but when you're talking about the Reality Stone, I think the Gamora part hit me. I think the part that hit me the most in that scene is between Hawkeye and Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
Like that one, it gives me a knot to think about.
Honestly, I was telling Daniel the other day, I was like, man, just because we were discussing it, I can't even imagine you're having like a family gathering, you know what I mean? And, you know, hot dogs and practicing archery. And then you turn around, your daughter's not there. And then your whole family's gone and you have no clue what's happening. You know what I mean? That's just, my heart literally went to the pit of my stomach. And that's how you start the movie.
Yeah, and that's how we start. And
I was already crying. Oh man, I was already like crying my eyes. I was like, wow. So we're starting just hit right in the gut. Awesome.
That's how you know. That's how you know that Marvel was supposed to be paired perfectly with Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Because Disney out of the gate will make you cry. so-and-so died, so-and-so this. That's, it was a match made in heaven.
I think for me, what hit me hard was that, you know, as a father, what, if you watch the previous movies, you know, in Civil War, he fought and said, you know what, I accept the consequences, you know, there's a law, I broke it, I'll go and I'll, you know, be peace with my family, I'll do house arrest, and I won't be with, you know, Captain America and the rest of them. Mm-hmm. And then you think about it, when that happened afterwards, you know, after you found out what, hey, realize, man, if I would have went with him, I probably could have prevented this. And that's where he went into that rage, because he thought he was doing the right thing. Just like the saying, you know, good intentions pave the way to hell. He was there saying, okay, I'm gonna bide my time, do what's right. But he wasn't there to help the Avengers stop Thanos the first time. And that happened. That's why he went to that crazy rage in Endgame. So.
Oh. I don't blame him.
No, I don't blame, I think out of all the Avengers, I think I had, like, if you do the F, marry or kill, I would definitely like to marry Hawkeye. I think he has that, it's a different personality than Tony Stark. Because Tony Stark is like the heartthrob and everything. But I think Hawkeye, he's always has that fatherly, even when, he has the whole right to be pissed off at Scarlet Witch for, like, the whole mind control thing. And you see it, I think, in Age of Ultron, where he's like, oh, I could shoot them. No one could have said. Yeah. You know, and I like him, but he honestly, he has, like, that coach, not that coaching thing, but that father parental figure to him of all the Avengers. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I mean, it's right when his wife told him, it's like, you know, that they need him. It's kind of like that glue that kind of puts it together.
Yeah.
Because he does balance all the Avengers out. You know, Tony Stark is that millionaire, that hotshot, that playboy. He has that mentality. And Captain America is, like, that good, he's a good soldier and everything, and then the Hulk gets his own thing. But I really do like Hawkeye. I think he's a little bit more centered. He has, like, he still manages to be a superhero with family.
Yeah.
You know, he gets a little bit of both of all the lives that he wants, and I think he's very well grounded in my head. But when that's taken away, he kind of just, like, dives off the deep end.
The deep end, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the funny part is, he's undefeated. Whenever team he's on, he's won. So it's kind of interesting, mm-hmm, how when he's true with Loki, he took the eye and he took the stone. He beat down the Avengers with the. And then when he switched over, they beat Loki in New York. Mm-hmm. When he was with the Avengers, they beat Ultron. And then when he was actually in Captain America: Civil War, Captain America escaped, and they won. So, and then he came back when he beat down the second time. So he's important to them. Very, very important to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, that reality stone just, you know, it just made me so mad when Thanos used it to turn Gamora's dagger into bubbles. You know, like, she was trying to, like, kill herself before knowing what he was going to do. I'm just like, dang. All of that just, it's just, it, I don't know.
That movie is kind of, you have just so many mixed emotions going in at once, yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's so much.
It definitely messes with your
everything.
With everything, it does. Because I think, like, the part that it really, like, got to me was at the end with Spider-Man.
Mm.
Like, that one got to me.
Yeah.
Those
whole movies get to me. Anyways,
and he's the only one. Spider-Man's the only one that felt was going on. He's the only one. Everyone else, it just happened. He's the only one, and since he had the regenerated body, his body kept fighting it. That's why it took him longer than everybody else to disappear, which was even more sadder. And if you knew Spider-Man's background.
Yeah. Yeah, you did explain that to me, babe, afterwards. I was like, why did it take Spider-Man so long? He's like, because he sensed it and he was able to kind of hold off. And I was like, oh, my gut. It was just the knot in my throat.
Yeah, no, that I'm already experiencing, like, the which movie has severely left you damaged? I think that would be
emotionally damaged,
because I'm really, like, feeling it right now.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Next stone
we see would be the Power Stone, Guardians of the Galaxy, and of course everyone knows this is the Purple Stone, and this one is actually the one that puts the glue together. This actually is the power to execute the massive task. So you see a lot of other, you know, celestial beings use this to destroy civilians, destroy planets. Of course, Thanos used it here and there to destroy some things, but his main focus, this was the actual collective power to do the snap, to make everything go together. So like anything in life, you need some power to do a lot of things, of course, some more than others. So this was a very, very important stone to put everything together.
Power stone.
The power stone.
That was you, yeah. Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So this one. Oh, I did a lot of writing. So that one was first seen in the Guardians of the Galaxy. The stone gives the power unbelievable energy, power enough to destroy planets, cities, and the likes. It is a stunning shade of purple, which resembles amethyst and purple tourmaline. However, again, like how I did the Mind Stone, I do think the one that kind of harnesses the citrine, which is superpowers, are a stone for the third eye, which is the energetic power center of the body. So citrine capulates a, embracing that leadership role, making things happen, like in both business, it's actually known as the merchant stone, which if you turn it, it's like good luck. It's energizing on every energy level of life. It's supposed to bring sunshine, joy, prosperity, protection, and self-confidence into your reality. So I think that's where it comes, like that's where I took that and ran with it instead of like mirroring the purple shades of it. Mm-hmm. Citrine has that ability to, everyone's seeking power, you know, like, what do you want? It's like, and if that is your, you know, off balanced, it can definitely be used against you. Like instead of being your sunshine, it's like that whole power can destroy you enough. So it's just a matter of how you want to balance out your life.
Yeah.
Because even it being a merchant stone, you know, having a business can ultimately hinder you or destroy you. That same.
Right. Well, I know with citrine, it can also be a powerful cleanser, you know. Mm-hmm. And it promotes that self-healing. Mm-hmm. I like citrine, I do like citrine a lot.
It is a very nice, it has like that solar energy. Mm-hmm. And I think with Letha that we just passed, like that was one of the stones that you can definitely go out and like kind of recharge.
Right.
And just soak up all the power, the sunshine, the rays.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I do like it. Citrine can also be used for optimism and life energy. Yeah.
But ultimately, like if you did have a good balance on power, that would be a great one.
Yes, for sure. Like enjoying that a lot. That's it, Trine. Can really help you out. Did you have anything else?
No. Well, actually, it was like in medieval times, so it was the merchant stone.
Mm-hmm.
It was to have been traded between the ancient Romans and Eastern countries, and in medieval times, citrine was thought as a healing amulet capable of curing poison.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. The Scottish ones adorned their daggers with pieces of citrine. It was used for the pommel.
Mm.
So, yeah, it has, if you look at it, like, in medieval times, like, that is times where they were fighting for power,
right?
And even if they're used in daggers, I mean, ultimately when you're going to battle, you're fighting for so and so, like whichever's country, governmental power, just reign on.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever.
I can't remember, how did Thanos get the power stone?
So in Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, they were fighting for it because of course, you know, Star-Lord found it,
right?
And so that's why in Infinity War he actually had it before he went to Thor, and he actually took it.
Okay.
By another planet, Xander. So he actually went there first and he took the power stone, and then he went to go find Thor in that one. So that's the reason why he had it first.
Okay.
So it doesn't show exactly how he got it, but he had it first.
Okay. Yeah, because I couldn't remember. I remember obviously Guardians of the Galaxy. That was obviously right there, but I couldn't remember how Thor got a hold of it. All right, cool.
And he always killed half the people, always, even before the stones. He always killed half the people.
Yeah. Okay, next stone.
I love what you're having, like, really. a visceral reaction here.
Because I can see, I'm just like visualize, like I'm playing the movie in my head again. I'm just like, dang, that's right. Like, it was just, it was.
You're reliving the trauma all over again.
I am reliving the trauma all over again. And also, you know, Dinah likes to watch those movies over and over again on repeat. How they?
I do. Yeah, I'm one of the few people that when that movie came out on DVD, I got it and I actually watched it 24 hours. It was kind of crazy. Infinity War. Yeah, one of my favorite movies. I just had a living room just doing chores and watching it, and just it's just such a great movie. So
that was his dissertation. he was studying it, breaking it down,
because he knew this day was gonna come.
See, there you go. For anybody out there that thinks that, you know, your parents or anybody's like, well, why are you watching? It's like there will come a time when just this information. You know,
mm-hmm, exactly.
Hey, like I really did like, and I hope like we can bring that back. The whole Jedi one, because
oh yeah,
the Kyber crystals and everything. So no, it's like more than once, Daniel. More than once you will be featured on this podcast.
Yeah,
more than once.
So before we started this pod, for the listeners that are listening, we actually do Instagram lives. That's how we started. Mm-hmm. And starting the lives, we obviously did one. I think it was full or new moon, whichever it was.
Oh, girl, that was our first one.
Yeah. So then we did. Yeah. It was May 4th, and May the 4th be with you. And Daniel was on our live with Jedis and crystals, and we had a great time. That was fun.
Oh, that was so fun. That was
not as traumatizing as this one, but it's still good.
Okay. Have we, the whole Star Wars universe is equally traumatizing.
It is,
too.
Yeah.
Now it is.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, now they're going into the cartoons, the movies, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. We went to our local brewery and they had which
Star Wars? Oh, Tin Man.
Tin
Man, yeah.
Which movie was playing, babe? The Star Wars?
Oh, yeah. It was first, they actually did Attack of the Clones and they did Revenge of the Sith afterwards.
So every time I see Anakin, I'm just like, dude, poor Anakin, man. Like, I just look at him and I'm just like, ugh, it breaks my heart.
He really, like, the thing with him is, I mean, it's like the word, not the, a little bit more intense than Harry Potter. You know how, like, Harry Potter and Anakin were, like, the chosen ones? I think Anakin, you know, he was taken away from his family to become a Jedi. They didn't want him. It was like, if somebody told Harry Potter, it's like, you know what? I don't know. He might just not be good. He might just turn evil. So he had like that complex, well, how they developed in Phantom Menace. So then they took him. He was away from his mom later on to find out that, you know, they kidnapped his mom and those poor kid.
Yeah,
just like he really did have it all the makings of like a villain.
Yeah.
He was just not set up for like success.
No. And people forget too is that he started off in a conflict, and then as it goes on, becoming a Jedi was secondary to being a general in the Republic Army. So he didn't really get to understand, and he was conflicted, saying, well, wait a minute, if we're Jedis in name, but then we're generals, why is always overlapping? Why do we have to choose one or the other? We can't be both. And that's something where he always, you know, was sad about, because sometimes you become a Jedi, you will let your soldiers die. If you become a general and help your soldiers, it means you have to kill, which is not the Jedi way. So he was always conflicted and saying, like, why is it always one or the other? You know, and that did really, really hurt his psyche and what he had to do.
Yeah. And I remember even in the Clone Wars, where they go to the planet where it's the Force, they're telling him to choose which one, and he denies it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, see, like,
life's always about a choice. Life's always about a choice, and the consequences you put up with those choices. So
that's what I'm telling. Like, poor. Like, if you were to just look and incorporate everything, like the cartoons, all of the, you know, the graphic novels that are out there. Anakin had it rough, so like he was angsty for a reason. Like, you see him in Attack of the Clones, like I think that's where he was super angsty. I'm just like, oh, good God. But he had a reason to. I mean, like, everything
yeah, that
he
100%. Just
put through, like.
Yeah. I look at it and I'm like, oh, well, damn, man. Like, poor kid. Like, he's still a kid. He's still young.
Yeah, he is still a kid, you know.
And, So, yeah, I'm watching and I'm just like, dang. My heart still, like, breaks for Anakin.
But, like, in both of those same universes, like, so that's what I'm telling you. It's like, all your knowledge does come in handy.
Oh,
I was mind blown when
it's so sad because you learn, but like
Daniel, you learn, yeah.
Every time you, what is it you said? Every time you watch it, something you see something different or you notice something
different.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird how that happens. You just watch it, and it's like watching the different lenses. You know, when you watch something, because it depends on your state of mind when you go into it. You know, you're watching like, oh wow, you know, you're feeling happy, sad, mad, confused, and you're just like, huh, they noticed that before, so. It's pretty interesting, but
especially with all the, you know, with WandaVision and all that coming out, then it's like, oh shoot, and then something else clicks and you're like, oh damn, and then it does make me want to rewatch the movie, you know, so I can kind of start seeing and understanding, because I won't say anything about Loki because that's still relatively new and they're not done with the shows yet, but I asked you a question and you're like, well babe, it's da 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 da, and I was like, oh shoot, like I keep having to put my mind somewhere different to kind of remember how when I'm watching the show, so yes. All of it's really really good.
Yeah.
No, it constantly blows your mind every single time.
Mm-hmm.
It, and I think that's why how they're going about it now, like the more that they're developing these stories, you're kind of just like, whoa, like literally like that mind blow gif. Like it's just exploding in your head. Yeah, that's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
So I am interested because I would love to have you on just so we can discuss Doctor Strange, especially now with the new movie, with the movie that's going to come out. I think in December, right? Yeah.
December, yeah. Which leads into our next stone, the time stone, which I was fascinated with because I've known that for a while. Yes, and just his beginning, you know. And I tell people it's funny because I didn't realize when I was catching Susan up on MCU before Endgame because I just took her right away. That we kind of skipped over Doctor Strange because it was still kind of in theaters, so we just skipped over that. We barely watched it a couple of days ago, so it's kind of fresh in our brain. But yeah. It's a really, really, really great movie, you know. And it was funny because I remember seeing TikTok a long time ago. There was an argument saying when he's driving before he gets an accident, you know, he's talking about an army colonel gets into a flying exercise, and of course, you know, we all thought, oh, that's Rhodey, blah blah blah. You know what I mean? Because you know what I mean? We just finished watching Civil War. You know, other people said, no, that's the guy back in Iron Man 2 when the hammer's trying to make his bent armor. You know what I mean? So, but I'm like, no, it's funny because you think about it, it can go either way because people forget that in the shot of New York, they actually have the Avenger Tower, which is very interesting. So that's actually kind of like that time zone where it's still early in the game. You know what I mean? But it's actually after Infinity. It's actually after Avengers, the first one. So based on that timeline, it actually is Colonel Rhodey who's the one that was injured. So it's not the guy in Iron Man 2 because that tower wasn't there, you know, that link. So, but the time stone, of course, is very important, especially in Doctor Strange, as you all know, because he got that power really quick, really well, because that's one thing that everybody was obsessed with in that movie, time, time, time. And the one thing important with that snap is that actually it's the snap that actually took all the life at once. So at that, when he snapped it, everybody started disappearing, animals at the same time. It wasn't more like, you know, onesie, twosie, or, you know, it was at the same time. So that's the importance of that stone with the snap.
Yeah. Okay, so time stone, which is a green gem, allows the holder to control the flow of time as the Avengers get together to, you know, subdue Thanos, and they try to pry the gauntlet. The protector of the time stone, which is Doctor Strange, he views all these alternate futures to defeat him, but there reveals there's only one superhero win, only one. And as we know, Doctor Strange doesn't just hand it over. I mean, he has to in order for them to, he knows that that's what he has to do, which just, in my mind, even just watching Doctor Strange, the movie the other night, I'm just like, the way he, you know, he just picked it up quick. Like mm-hmm. it was like second nature to him, you know, just reading and reading and really like taking in all this knowledge. And to know with all of this going on, there was only the probability of one time, one future where they beat him. And oh, it was so sad. But the green.
Let's see.
Yeah, go ahead.
But Doctor Strange, like, he did come a natural to it, but he kind of was fighting it. Like, where yeah. if you look at Doctor Strange, like, how he evolved as a person, like, as a character, mm-hmm. he was arrogant as hell. Like,
oh, in the yeah.
beginning, mm-hmm. he didn't want to. He didn't, like, he would kind of mock it, and he kind of, like, just.
But what does that tell you about even with what we're doing?
Oh, no. Yeah.
100%. You know, people. Yeah, no. mock it because and I understand some people's brains don't, you know, work that way. It's like, well, I'm just gonna you can say, you know, so before I forget, so this green stone represents the emerald, right, which ensues better earning opportunities, a steady positive and inflow of wealth. So it promotes career growth, ensures recognition, and really yields spiritual benefits. So here we are discussing what this emerald can do for you, right? And its properties. But then you can take that same stone and people will be like, it's just a rock. And this is what it is. But then we can scientifically turn that into like, well, these stones actually do have a vibration. And we can go all into that as we've done before. But to mock that spirituality in that form, it really does just give you that tunnel vision. Because then you just, and either way, right? You know, you can either just see the spiritual and not like the medicinal and the science, how far we've come, or just science, or just this way. And you can really become tunnel vision and it's like only your way or the highway kind of thing. And when I saw that, you know, and when he got into his accident, just, you know, to see his hands and he's a surgeon and just like kind of blaming everybody around him. Cause if he would have been able to do it, he would have, you know, if I would have done better, you know, is what he said, you know, what's the nurse's name? I forget.
Oh, God.
She's a doctor.
Yeah. Sorry.
Palmer. Yeah. Dr. Palmer.
He's like, we did everything we could. And he's like, I could have done better.
Yeah.
So it's really, you know, when you, and it's funny because, you know, the way we are as humans, it's almost like when you have to hit that rock bottom for you to really mm-hmm. open up your eyes. And it's so funny when she's like, open your eyes, and she puts her finger on his third eye and he's like, ah, and he freaking astral projects. And I'm like, oh shit, there he goes. And he's just like, what are you doing to me? What's in this tea? It's just tea. But it just.
With a little bit of honey.
Yeah, with a little bit of honey. That's right. But the one quote that I did like, yeah, what I did like, I'm just going to read it. So the temporal manipulations can create branches in time, unstable dimensional openings, paradoxes, time loops. Do you want to get stuck reliving the same moment over and over forever or never having existed at all? And I was like, that's amazing. And you know what? I really started getting into all this the time when Daniel introduced me to the Flash, but the series.
Oh, okay.
That's when I was like, first of all, I really was enjoying watching the Flash until it freaking shattered my heart into a million pieces that season.
I think all superhero movies, like in any shape or form, they have like that whole like Game of Thrones where they're gonna kill off everything.
Oh no,
I haven't seen it everything, but I think it comes like you have to like prep your heart to know that it's just gonna get
and crushed. I know that there's, you know, I mean I watch, you know, Batman Gotham, you know, I like that dark, but I wasn't expecting it to hit me in the feels the way that it did. And I remember watching that season, and towards the end I was watching at my mom's house, and we weren't engaged at the time, but I freaking called him right away. Huh, babe? Yeah. I was physically crying. He's like, are you crying? I was like, why didn't you warn me? Like I want to cry
right now. Why didn't you warn her, Daniel?
can't give it away. It's the whole part of watching it.
Oh my god. And then
you kind of like prepped her mentally for it. You're like, nope, it just threw her.
I was not, like, I want to cry right now. I was not ready for it. I was not ready for season three ever in my life. But anyway, so going back to the time stone, that watching, that's what I'm saying, even doing all this research, going back and watching it, it really does like open another like, oh, okay. Almost like that understanding. But all right, next stone.
And the last one, which is the one that's least well known, but actually the most important, especially in both movies, Infinity War and Endgame, is the Soul Stone. And that's the one that pretty much no one, that Thor said, no one even seen it, no one even knew, you know, they knew about it, but they didn't know where it was, because it was the only stone that actually not only required, as they called it, a gift, but to actually know the mentality of what it is to possess that stone. And as we know, you know, when they're making the trips to go, you know, see good old Red Skull there, of course, you know, only if you think about it, how was Thanos, you know, especially only took Gamora because she knew where it was. And, you know, since they were in teams in Endgame with Hawkeye and Black Widow, you know, no one in the right mind would think of taking the thing you love the most with you. That's kind of the ironic and parallel with those two. And that's why no one's able ever to achieve it, because something that you don't think about. And that's the one where, you know, sad to say, that's the one that actually took the life. That's the one that took the actual soul from the physical body, where it wasn't there anymore. And that's where it was like, wow, you see the dread and the sadness in everybody, you know, Captain America, Iron Man, all the people, seeing the people around them just disappear. And then after that, you just figure out, you know, why not me? But, you know, especially like, you know, people forget with Tony Stark, when after Iron Man disappeared, he was looking at himself like, am I gonna disappear? And it didn't happen. So he's like, oh, I guess I'm have to deal with this still here. So very, very powerful, very, very powerful stone.
Yeah. So what the stone means in the movie is an orange gem. The soul stone allows the bearer to control and snip the souls out of the living and the dead. Again, Thanos, after his adopted daughter Gamora, they go to the former planet to where the stone is kept. And as Daniel said, Red Skull reveals that possessing the rock comes with a heavy price. And even when I'm watching the movie, you know, and she's laughing like, you don't love anything. And when you see that tear, and I was like, oh, no. And then it hits her. Yeah, that was pretty heavy. Thanos is told that he can own the stone only when he sacrifices the life of his beloved. And he finally gets the stone after he throws his daughter off the cliff. And, you know, he's crying. I did come across a quote here that says, it's from the Soul Gem. Yes, come to my warm embrace. No pain, no burdens. For I rule within. 'Tis the price I demand for my secrets. Secrets I knew would one day deliver you to me. For long I have cried to be free of your petty moral restrictions. Cried to quiet the hunger which is me. But no, you've refused me the souls I crave. You know I am not to be smited. I am power. I am the one. I am one of the six. My mother was a star. My father was destruction. I am logic and survival. Power that will not be enslaved by emotion or biology. I am by far the stronger of us. So I now claim this vessel, which was you, as my own. Now shall it be you who are the slave. Now it shall be I who controls our fate. I who determines what this body does. Today begins the reign of the Soul Gem. Man, I read that and I was like, damn, the Soul Stone fucking rocked me to my, just reading about the Soul Stone. I mean, I already know, but it's like, I didn't even know. So the orange stone represents, I guess in real world, quote unquote, coral, which promotes strength, wisdom, intellect, power, courage, determination, and enthusiasm. Whew. It's a heavy stone.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That was heavy. Love ending that.
And on that heavy note.
It's just, you know, that stone, it really made, I mean, I think all the stones, when they're collecting them and when you're learning the history of it all, it really just make you sit and think like, dang, each stone is powerful in and on their own, but then you combine them, all that power, which is why the gauntlet had to be made. And it's still, it almost, well, you know, Tony, Iron Man didn't make it. The Hulk was nearly lost, as well as Thanos. Like, he lost all that part or partial after the
snap? His arm, all that. Yeah. Well, he did it twice. So he lost it partial and then did it again to destroy the stones, and he lost almost all that part.
Mm-hmm. Just all that power is just incredible. Absolutely incredible. Everyone take a breath. Drink some water.
Drink some hydrate. Go cuddle something.
Go
cuddle your dogs, guys, your cats. You've been personally victimized by the MC universe. Take a shot.
Right? No kidding. It's all a learning, all of this, you know, as you can really take it for what it is, and even reading, you know, the comics, and you get even deeper in the stories. There's a lot of life lessons, ton.
And it goes, you're kind of brought it back to point. It's like what we're doing here in the, like what we do, there's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of like knowledge that you think it's one way and then it kind of just comes out of the other, but it's all very heavily. That's why we talked about like that whole grounding, and it's the balancing act in right. Between all those stones. That's why, like, all together because they're brought either for good or for destruction. Just Thanos just chose to obliterate half of everything.
And how do you feel, like, I know Dan and I had this discussion, it's like, you know, when, and you can understand what, like, his point, because I like to see both sides, right? Almost like playing devil's advocate, but it's like, okay, he's in his mind, he's obliterating half of everything, because in his head, when he does that, it's like, well, look at that planet is now flourishing, you know, kids don't go hungry, this, and this. But it's like, okay, but you cannot do, okay. Well, I guess that's my thing. How do you guys kind of see Thanos's point of view?
Well, I mean, he's lived a long time. I think that's what people forget, that he's been around a very, very long time. You know, like I said, our concept of time is different. You know, like you say, you have Thor is 1,500 years old, you have others who are 5,000 years old, you know, so they've seen a lot. And it goes both ways, where you can feel something and then it goes away, or if you feel something, it just lingers, and it just totally stays there and set in stone. You just can't change how you're thinking. You know, of course, close to home, you see someone, it's, you know, home planet, and, you know, family just die, you're like, wow, it changes you. Just like anybody used to be talked about Hawkeye, seeing his family disappear and die, it changed him. So his perspective, yes, you know, based on his idea and seeing that this is not just a one-off or one planet, this is a universal problem, you know, and even, you know, related to how we are today on Earth, the same concept. So, but obviously, you know, the argument of Avengers, like, two wrongs to make a right. Okay, cool, you're right, you see the problem, but your idea is just to kill half everybody, just do a universal genocide. And of course, they're like, no, that's not the answer. You know, you didn't even bother, you know, hey, if you have that much power to raise an army, you know, get all the ships, you can try to help. But no, you just say, I'm going to kill half. You know, the easiest solution. That's one thing a lot of people forget with bad guys. These solutions are the ones they usually like to follow. So that's why the good guys say, no, you know, we're not going to kill, because it's an easy solution. You know, we have to be the better people. So, but his perspective, I mean, it's hard to argue with someone who thinks they're right. And we'll move from that point of view.
And to the point where he does a snap, so mm-hmm. that he destroys the stones, you know, as to prevent other people from undoing it. And to keep himself, he even said, like, to keep himself or anyone else from abusing that power. So it's like, okay. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, okay, but you just literally just did that. But it's like you said.
It's like, it's okay for him to do it, but not anybody else to do it. So he took it upon himself. Like, he was burdened with that. It's like, well, to destroy. Yeah, no.
Yeah. I don't know how you felt.
I think that's it's because I have like very mixed feelings on that one because we've seen it, you know, like half of genocide. I mean, half of World War II was basically because Betty didn't like so and so, and they thought that would fix the solution. Like that would be fix the problem, mm-hmm. and it's those stones put together. That's what I was saying, like, it can be put to good use. Mm-hmm. You know, finding solutions to that instead of just obliterating half of the planet so it can...
the life form, yeah.
Restore itself. And that's the reason why I have, like, I reserved opinions on that just because kind of COVID sort of did that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then we all joked around. It's like, yeah... bring a plague to do it. So, yeah, but I'm like, mm-hmm. Kind of wiped off a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see how, like, yeah, no, of course. And I think, like, if you ever get angry, yeah, you want to, like, snap half of everything, but everything has that ripple effect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So what he did, it caused it across. It's like it didn't give him a right. Like he wasn't God. He wasn't this. Like he was literally Thanos.
Yeah. Quote unquote man.
To do it. Yeah. Quote unquote. Mm-hmm. To bring on that massive destruction and all that heartbreak. And I just don't like it. Yeah. I have. I don't know.
But I mean, coinciding it with crystals that we have today, it's when we were discussing like, oh, it's going on where you can, obviously you can use, you know, amethyst on its own, or you can pair it with a rose quartz. And when you put the two together, it'll do this for you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you are conducting mm-hmm. some kind of spell work, you know, you're trying to bring.
Or grid work.
Or yeah, a crystal grid, you know, what is the intention? What are your surrounding crystals? And how are you using your elements, you know, to kind of bring into fruition what you're looking for? It's that same kind of concept. And that's when you kind of touch into how are you using those sources, your crystals, your, I don't know, you can even use your divination or your herbs, your magical herbs, all that stuff into what you are wanting or needing. And mm-hmm. how are you, and it's like how we say, you know, whether you look at this from your spirituality viewpoint, a witchy viewpoint, or just, you know, regular Joe, hopefully, you don't get rewarded for nothing. It's like, man, I want a brand new car. I'm just gonna think about getting my brand new car. But you don't work towards it. How, you know, or you forget about it, or you don't put the work towards it. How are you gonna reap those rewards? You know what I mean? As far as putting in the work.
And I agree. And that's why, like, when I was telling you that quote or that little tidbit that the Tarot Coven talked about when they were talking about oak and mm-hmm. cancer, they meant about like manifesting. It's like you ask for something, but you have to give something up. Like if you're asking to receive, then you have to pay back. And that's why it was like the whole, there's one point of asking for a new car, asking for a raise, asking for a new job, or just asking for stuff. Like you have to be willing to put in that heavy work. Do your nantifam, not just like write it in a journal, close that journal away and just right. be like, well, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah,
but you have to be in that mindset of be thankful for everything around you, because abundance will come to you when you're not in a better state, like right. in a good state of mind. Mm-hmm.
100%. Yeah. And I mean, it's just like when you do the same thing with prayer, you know, it's good mm-hmm. to send prayer, but you know, ultimately you got to put in the work and I mean, we're all going to hit hard times. It's just, how do we mm-hmm. pick ourselves up and allow others to help us? I think is another big thing, as you see all over the news and what's going on all over the world. It's like, if we can only treat each other with a little bit of respect and love, it can go a long way. But again, that can only go so far. How are we advocating? How are we going to move forward, you know, to help, really?
No, and everyone is like really coming together to helping for the greater good, you know, like literally setting your differences aside. And how is it all going to benefit everyone's, like maybe whatever knowledge you had, somebody else could have used it or could have like found that information, but X or Y Z circumstance, it prevented you from that. And yeah, I think that honestly, it takes a lot of skill. Like going back to what like the Infinity Stones were, like Thanos really wanted that, but it's like, did he really want it? Like it was much more, I think, of an emotion, not emotional, speaking out of word here, pero como que él lo quería hacer, like he wanted to do it, and yeah. he was hell bent on getting it executed. He didn't yeah. care who the hell it affected, what it affected, he just wanted it to do. And the thing is that sometimes that's not how, if it infects you emotionally, yeah, but step away, like look at the outside picture, like how it really does affect everyone. Or, you know, just because you just want it doesn't mean necessarily you should have it.
Exactly.
So want more than a need.
And actually going on what you said, Dee, I don't know, babe, you probably knew this. I didn't know, because when I was looking up stuff, it was like, who has the seventh Infinity Stone? I was like, the seventh Infinity Stone?
Who has the seventh?
Do you know, babe?
I did not know, actually.
But it was funny because I was like, I was like, the seventh. And you know, and it kept going like, no, there are six, blah, blah, blah. But the ego gem is found in the Ultraverse. Yeah. When the Asgardian god Loki attempts to steal the other six gems, a seventh is the fake rhythm gem, and is created by Loki and is part of like his schemes.
Oh, the god of mischief.
Yeah, and that's the quote unquote the seventh Infinity Stone, but it's just a fake. And when I read it, I just laughed because I was like, freaking Loki, man, he's so smart. Like to create something like that. I thought that was funny.
You know what? I will tell you this. Like, Loki, he irritates you and everything, but I agree with what Thor said. It's like, you know, like once he already knows how Loki is. Mm-hmm. Like, you cannot be like a child and be like, ah, darn it, why did I get tricked?
Right.
I love, like, the reason why I love Loki so much is because he loves to throw a monkey wrench into everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. It's definitely a trickster. Mm-hmm. Which,
well, also looking at that seventh Infinity Stone, they uh-huh. I was also, and this was just like people going back and forth chit-chatting about it, but they say Captain Marvel is even believed to have that seventh sense. And it says that, you know, it's very interesting because there's an actual seventh Infinity Stone in the Marvel comics, and it's the Ego Stone. So that's how I was like, oh, okay. But Loki is just the one that makes the fake rhythm gem. So just because he's trying to, you know, steal the other six. But it's very, as I'm saying, like, you go down just that rabbit hole of like, what do you mean seven? Oh, there's eight? And just a bunch of just little sub stories within the big story. I enjoy it. I really do enjoy all of it. It's very
so which Which of the six or seven Infinity Stones, might I add, is your favorite? And whoever wants to go, Daniel, or Susan, whoever wants, like, which one do you like, or would you want to have?
Ooh, you can go, babe.
Well, like I said, I've always liked the teleportation. So I would take the Space Stone, so I could teleport anywhere. I think that's a pretty amazing power.
Yeah, that is. I'm really terrible at these because it's like, oh, I don't know.
Okay, fine. Let's do the F, marry, and kill.
F, marry, and kill. Well, I mean, I do like the teleportation because if I can just like take myself one place and not have to worry about driving anywhere, that'd be cool. But I do. I'll do the time.
I'll do the time one?
Yeah, I'll do the time one. Why not? How about you? Still thinking?
I think I'm still thinking. I'm torn between the mind and the power stone. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately I would favor more the mind stone.
The mind stone?
Just because it's like that mind over matter. Like once you gain a good clarity, a mm-hmm. good sense of like clarity, you can tackle everything. I mean, the teleportation is great. Yeah. I think maybe where I am right now is like, I would love to have a little bit of Vision's ability.
Oh yeah. The telepathy.
Uh-huh.
I would like to travel through time. I think it would be kind of cool, but I do like the reality stone to have access of the multiverse, but I'll stick with the time zone. I'll stick with that. Because usually I have a hard time kind of picking one, but I between those two, time and reality, I kind of like, maybe we'll take this place.
What? I like it. Yeah, I like that one too. Well, space, time, and mind.
Exactly.
That's kind of cool.
Well, I
think so after that emotional roller coaster, I think Susan and I felt that one.
Yeah, I did. That's why I was like, well, thank you, D, for kind of, which one would you like to have? Oh, okay,
Which one do you want?
Let's have a break in the heaviness for sure. But I think I'm good to go here. I'm going to kind of sift through some more, probably with some research on my own.
I think you're still kind of heavier, just like.
Like, dang.
Somebody give her a hug.
Someone.
Give Susan a hug. Daniel, please. I think she's reliving the PTSD of all of the Infinity.
It's like I'm thinking of like all of those, and then I'm really am stuck in like Flash. I'm like, oh dang.
I know. I think that we triggered something triggered in you, and you're just like, get them now. Wait, that's this.
I know. I'm like, oh, I'm so sad. We're still in Cancer season, right?
Yeah, no, there you go. Just blending all Cancer. It's all mm-hmm. water sign.
Thanks for all the emotional deep feels there.
You're welcome. Hey, but, we're gonna be heading into it's fire for a little bit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then we're gonna hit to
Leo.
Oh yeah.
Leo season.
I'm Ooh. Always My fire well, signs, my fire signs. I worry sometimes about that fiery energy that they have. Yeah.
Well, Daniel's a water sign. He's a Pisces.
I know. How was your experience being a Pisces, Daniel? Completely side note. How do you feel?
Honestly, I always get that it's very, very easygoing, very relaxed, like, you know, quite literally go with the flow now, you know. Back then,
uh-huh.
I would do a lot of thinking. Now it's just like, no, I just go with the flow and just see what it is and don't really let a lot of things bother me. But yeah, no one really has a lot of bad things to say about Pisces. So
no, I was still like Susan. I'm like, I've never met a Pisces that, you know, like just given me I always, you guys are very, very lax. Like you guys are, well, more Cancer should be that way.
Well, yeah, I think the one thing about us is we do keep to ourselves a lot, you know, and one thing is we are, which is kind of weird sometimes, we are our best friend and our worst enemy at the same time. You know, that's why there's two of us. some people don't see that, you know, and that's one thing that makes us, which is kind of ironic, unpredictable, because we can come out of nowhere and you're like, what the heck? Where did that guy come from? Where did that girl come from? You know?
So you guys are the water version of Gemini.
Oh, well, funny how you say that. Well, Daniel's a Gemini rising.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So, but
how he said it that I'm like, oh, okay.
It just segues right into it. Well, I was kind of telling Daniel, oh, babe, you know, you're a big three. And he's like, what is that? So he's learning along, but with me as I go deeper into this on this path. But I was like, okay, so your son is a Pisces. He's an Aries moon and he's a Gemini rising. And honestly, with all of his knowledge, like we'll just say this knowledge, Gemini risings, they have a thirst for knowledge and they search for that information. And I see a big deal of that in him, in you, babe. I really do see that getting into like that, the topic, like in depth, he can really get into.
Oh, that kind of is true. That's why your knowledge came handy.
Yeah.
You don't believe it, but it is. I mean, learning about the Infinity Stones, learning about how they all work, going back to the Kyber crystals. I really would love to do, just because I love, like,
let's do it,
Doctor Strange. Like, if we can like dissect it, because he taught, like, Doctor Strange is a perfect one that aligns with this whole, like, our podcast.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we and then Scarlet Witch too.
Yeah,
but. So see, your knowledge is very useful. We'll take you to trivia one night. Hopefully we win something.
I'm terrible at trivia, but.
Oh, good God, girl, yeah.
Daniel will be amazing.
I love trivia. Trivia is my jam. I love trivia.
Mm-hmm. We were doing trivia. Well, we weren't doing it, but I think we got to a place. I can't remember where, but weren't they doing something with Star Wars?
Which one?
I don't know.
Oh, the Geeks Who Drink? That one? Or which one? Because they do some really, I know they did a Disney one. They're very big into The Office. That's like a trend.
No. Oh, well, we had gone somewhere and they were doing trivia night. We didn't know. But I think, no, you know, I lied. I think it was when we were doing trivia at your mom's, babe. And we were looking at questions. The boys were, and you're like, ask me a question and I'll know it. And we were just looking up all these questions, like deep Star Wars questions. And man, Daniel was like, that's too easy. Blah, blah, blah. Da, 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 da. I was like, oh, damn. I was like, damn. Daniel,
if I still worked at the station, you would have gotten along with the people there. Great. They all were deep, that, like.
It's like that deep underground knowledge. I was like,
oh, yeah. Like, I didn't know what a great Jedi was until like a year ago. And I'm just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And they have models and they have different things. I'm just like,
those rabbit holes.
No, girl, literally it is a rabbit hole.
I like it. I like taking this journey with you guys,
which I am very happy that you got her into Supernatural, by the way.
Oh yeah, it's barely basic, but yeah, it's it'll be a long process, so it's a really really great show.
Yeah, especially with what we're
doing.
Trust me, Wendy, we will all come back together again and just talk about Supernatural.
For sure. All right. Well, shall we close it up?
Yeah. I think, unless you guys have any questions.
Or any final interesting thoughts? I guess we can have Daniel have any final thoughts.
What are your final thoughts on the Infinity Stones? Should Thanos have done it?
No. Quite simply, no. But it's a really great, I guess, a symbolism of how power can be used both ways, you know? And, you know, if you think about it, like Donald says, you know, when he destroyed the stone, because like, yeah, I had the stones and that kind of created you guys, because obviously in the movies, there was always some part of the Infinity Stone attached to each movie, you know, and that's how they brought them together with the common cause. So just like, you know, now just however you redirect your energy, that's pretty much what you're going to get. So you just gotta be careful, you know, especially like in WandaVision, you know, and even in Loki, you know, be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. So one thing you gotta be careful with. So.
And I think in the trend and the kind of area that we study, Susan, that's a big thing. It's like, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for when you're doing spell work. Be careful what you wish for
when you're manifesting. Yeah. Or be very specific, like super specific, because you never know if it's going to come around and bite you in the ass. Well, this is what you asked for. And then you turn around and be like, but not like that. I was like, well, that's not what you said. You got to watch what you say.
You got to be very careful. And it's exactly like Daniel said, it's like where your mind's at. Like,
that's true.
If your mind is like, I just want to kill things and everything, you have to be like that. And going back to the previous episode that we did about grounding, for you to manifest, for you to wish on anything, your intention work, your spell work, even your moon water and rain water, be very, very level-headed.
Right. Very, very much so.
Easier said than done, right? Sometimes they just don't want to, and you have to kind of like reel yourself back in, and that's why you have to, like, going back to that grounding.
Yeah, you have to make sure that you ground yourself for sure. Oh my goodness. Well, on that note, be careful what you wish for. Be very specific.
Right? Be very careful what you wish for, y'all.
Oh my gosh. And always do your research, I think, is another thing. Always have your research done. Again, we are not experts in our field, so we always link where we got our information in the show notes. So please feel free to look at those links and also do your own research. Sorry, I have some background noise going on over here. See if you want to chit chat with myself.
I know. No. You can go on. I think.
You just don't want it to be super loud. Okay. Not to say you don't try it. Just always go. It's just like in Doctor Strange.
We're learning, guys.
Well, he's like, someone should have told him to read the entire book because the warnings come after the spell. I was cracking up because I was like, yeah, it's freaking true. Like, put the warning before, you know, but that's.
And you know what? They make it so that you read first instead of just like, yes. But it happens in a test too. Like, have you ever like had those tests? Mm-hmm. They'll like tell you the important thing at the very end.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like. Because they want you to read. And it's just like being a teacher, you know, it's like, you always have to say, watch me first, don't do it, because then you're gonna hurt yourself. And then you always have that one that wants to do it with you, and it's like, what did I just say, you know? And it's not even reading, it's just watching me. But but yeah, so just with that being said, you know, just I just thought that was funny, the warning is at the end. But thank you all for joining us on this amazing.
Thank you for Daniel. Tell him thank you.
It was my pleasure.
You did great.
Thank you.
Yep, a lot of great information. And again, we'll put everything in the show notes from what we researched with the crystals and infinity stones. And also check us out on our Instagram, Hocus Pocus Let's Focus. We would love to hear from you.
And our Patreon, that's going to go, well, I think we're going to deploy that next week.
Okay.
So whenever you guys hear this, the Patreon
should be up and running.
So yeah. Go ahead and check us out on Patreon if you want to be, you know, pro Bruja, if you want to join the family, whichever one, the high priestess.
Yeah, we have different levels. We have different levels which you can support us. And, but yeah, we would love to.
And if you guys... Yeah, and if you guys ever want to send us an email, send us pictures, send us suggestions, we do have an email. Again, that's all going to be in the show notes. Mm-hmm. But our email is hocuspocuslet'sfocus@gmail.com.
Yep.
In case y'all want to send us some information,
you have a question, we would be more than, you know, willing to kind of look that up and give any advice or any answers that we can. But yeah.
Set those reviews, please.
Yes, that helps.
Hit that subscribe.
Yes. Hit those 5 stars. That's so funny. I still trip out that we say that. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like, follow. But we do appreciate all of our listeners. And all of our friends that are supporting us and, you know, everybody out there and our special guests that come onto our pod.
Oh yeah, we're gonna start giving guys some juicy. Oh, by the time that this podcast comes out, yeah.
So we're excited. But again, thank you everybody. Thank you to Love of My Life for being on this episode of Hocus Pocus Let's Focus.
Anytime.
Okay. And with that, we will see you around, guys. Bye.
See you later, guys.